Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for May 5th. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and joining me via cyberspace is Jim Allen. What's happening, bud?
Oh, not too much. Had a busy Sunday morning, afternoon, evening, night, the whole shebang. How about yourself, Mr. Gibson?
I'm feeling like a king.
Oh, I'm feeling a little shark bit, so I couldn't quite grasp the meaning of that innuendo.
Oh, well, that's good. But yeah, I'm feeling. I guess I'm the Clipper King, but
and I'm worrying.
Well, before we kill our audience, on this week's show we've got an interview with Coco Ballantyne of the Yakult Swallows, and we're going to discuss the standings, and we're going to talk about the no-hitter and respond to a listener question. So let's get started.
Clearing the bases!
Okay, it's my turn to torment John this week. Well, of course, it's my turn to torment John every week.
I was going to say, why do you think you only wait till Sunday to torment me?
Yeah, it's pretty much an everyday thing. But anyway, speaking of trivial things and so on, the trivia question for this week was once again related to Masahiro Tanaka.
Oh.
Sorry.
I thought I was, I'm having trouble reading your mind, and this is new for me because you were very predictable before, and now that we don't work together, I don't know what you're thinking.
Well, join the club, I don't know what I'm thinking.
Okay. What kind of club is that? Nobody knows what's going on.
It's the club that the wife holds over me when I do the wrong thing. Okay.
All right.
Now, okay, the question is, who was the last Pacific League player to win a Pitcher of the Month award whose name was not Masahiro Tanaka?
Oh, man. Come on.
That's not hard.
That's like 7 months ago. Maybe more. Who knows? Let me think now. I'm going to say Chihiro Kaneko.
That's what I thought, too.
Ah!
That's what I thought, too, and I was wrong. So I looked it up.
Okay.
So as you know, that Tanaka won the Pitcher of the Month award last year in May, June, July, August and September. He won it 5 times last year, and nobody had ever done that before.
Right.
Okay, the player was on the 2013 Japan WBC team.
Is that supposed to be some kind of a sideways hint or something? That's not helping.
No, sideways is a good hint.
I don't know.
Okay, Kazuhisa Makita.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I would not guess that. I would have guessed Kaneko like 5 times before I guessed him.
And as I would have also. I thought that was okay.
That was supposed to be easy.
It wasn't diabolical. It wasn't like how many people have infield singles. That was hard, man. It was interesting, but it was hard.
Okay. It's in the past. All right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, Vladimir Ballantyne graciously sat down for a brief chat on Wednesday at Tokyo Dome before the Swallows took on the Giants. And as of Saturday, he was leading the Central League in walks and home runs. Now, this year, at the beginning of the season, he went through a stretch in April where he was on course to hit, I don't know, like 190 home runs. Seems like, I don't know, it was 120 even at one point, or 70 or something.
Yeah, and Willy Mopeña.
Yeah, him and Willy Mopeña. And so anyways, coming off a troubled offseason that revolved around a January incident with his estranged wife that saw him arrested on felony charges and in the process of divorce, but that none of that, you know, kept him away from the baseball that he loves. And
thankfully.
Yeah, can't let that get in the way of baseball, especially getting to practice on time in February.
Yeah, to get to camp, that was a big deal. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's the first player who said he was glad to be at camp on February 1st, you know. So anyway, he told a group of reporters at a January press conference the day before he went to Okinawa that he aimed to have a better year than last year, which led everybody shaking their heads. And now I understand why he won the MVP award, because they were thinking, well, that means you must think you're going to hit 70 home runs. So because the only way he could have a better year in their minds, in these scribes' minds, was to hit more home runs. And so I guess that's why he won the MVP award. So anyway, I didn't vote for him. I give him a third place vote, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so we checked in with Coco, and this is what he had to say.
All right, so our guest this week on the Japan Baseball Weekly podcast is Vladimir Coco Ballantyne, the Japan single-season home run king, although even, I guess, this season. So how's it going, man?
Good, man. Nice to be on your show again.
Oh, yeah, it's always a pleasure to have you. Now, it was, I guess, a memorable, for all the wrong reasons, off-season for you.
Yeah, man, I mean, all those things is behind, you know, it's just baseball, so time to concentrate on baseball.
Yeah, I heard your hearing is going to be at the end of the season. All that stuff's pushed off till the end of the season now?
Yeah, everything at the end of the season. I don't want that to deal with baseball. It have nothing to do with baseball, so I cannot leave my team to do my personal stuff. So I try to do everything at the end of the season.
Okay, well, I'm certainly the team was very happy about that.
Yeah, I'm happy too.
Yeah. You don't want to go back to Florida in the middle of May or...
Yeah, I just want to play baseball. I mean, I enjoyed it, so I just want to stay here and play.
Okay, well, speaking of playing, and now the team, of course, I remember at the press conference, the team said, you know, we're sorry it happened, but the best way for you to show your remorse was to hit a bunch of home runs. How has the team's attitude been behind you in this support?
All good, man. I can't complain. I mean, they support me like, they treat me like never nothing happened. So I appreciate it, and I'm happy to have the teammates I have. I can't complain, man. I just enjoy it, and I even forget about everything that happened in the offseason.
I'm not trying to bring it up and bring back memories. I mean, you got enough things to do. But well, anyway, that's always nice, and I know that's kind of in keeping with the way this team handles the player personnel, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they know how to handle the situation. I'm happy the way they handle it, and can't complain, man. I just want to play baseball.
Okay. Now, are the teams pitching you any different this year from that? You know, obviously they know they knew you were dangerous before you hit 60 home runs, but you know, knowing you can hit 60 home runs and actually hitting them is two different things.
I mean, of course. I mean, you know, a lot of pitchers, you know, they don't want to give home runs. They, you know, approach me a different way. But you know, I just make adjustments. I just figure out how they try to get me out, and I just get a game plan and try to, you know, get success against them.
Is that more with the teams or with the individual pitchers or the individual catchers?
I think it's the whole team, you know. I mean, I can't complain. They be pitching to me, you know. They not be walking me, but I mean, but they just try to be a little bit more careful. You know what I'm saying? Like, careful. Like, you know, they don't want to give up a winning three-run shot or something like that. I mean, it will get a little bit more difficult, but can't complain. They come at me.
Okay. Now, the team has been, I mean, I have to ask, you had this time, I think it was 2 weeks ago, when you were playing the Giants, and Uinabe, it looks like the Swallows' plan with him and the Giants' plan with you was to wear you down by making you run around the bases. Tell us about those games. That was pretty bizarre, all the home runs you guys were hitting.
Yeah, I mean, it's just part of the game, you know. It just come to a series where you get two guys locked in and two guys having a good swing and don't miss the pitches. And I think that's what happened the last series of Jingu, where he hit four homer, and I think I hit three homer, I think. We just don't miss those pitches. I mean, we was just locked in those games.
Okay. Now, you had that streak where you're hitting home runs in every game. You know, today you said that you're not quite where you hope to be. Did you feel you were at that point?
No, I mean, even you know, I'm leading the league at homer. I had hit a couple home runs, you know, in four games in the road, but I still not feel my swing the way it was last year. I think last year my swing was more in the zone. I was making more compact contact. I was strike out less. This year I strike out more. So okay. I think it's something that I'm still trying to figure out what it is and try to, you know, get it back together and, you know, to be the kind of hitter I know I can be.
Right. Well, I remember at the press conference just before camp, you said that you wanted to have a better season, and that made sense to me because baseball isn't just about hitting home runs. There's a lot of things we can all improve on. But concretely, what were you thinking about, having a better swing or being more consistent or being healthier?
I think the more healthy, you know, because last year I missed 16 or 15 games.
Mm-hmm.
This year I'm playing with some pain, and I try, you know, go through it, try to stay healthy. But I think I want to improve my body that way, you know, to be healthy so I can play 144 game. And hitting wise, I just want to be consistent every day. You know, I don't want to be consistent for a week and then a week off. You know, I just want to be basic day every day. Even I don't get hit, but I just want to be there and feel like I'm hitting the ball even day out, but I hit the ball, you know, on the spot.
Okay, so right now your swing isn't right where you want it.
Not really. I've been missing too much balls. I have too many strikeouts. I already had over 30 strikeouts, and he only had like 110, 120 AB, so it's something missing in my swing. I'm missing too many balls.
Okay. Now, how you're obviously looking at a lot of video to check that, to see what you do and you do when you're right, comparing what you do with your right and when you're not right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I've been watching home. When I'm home, I just watch my last year clips, my last year homers, even on the hits, my batting stance, where my hands is this year. I mean, I try to look at it, but I don't try to do too much because then you be thinking too much, and then it's hard for you to play the game and thinking. So I just try to just a little bit, just a quick refresh, and you know, just let it happen in the game. Don't want to think too much.
Okay. Now the team. I know the way the team, the manager handles the players is very humanistic and very upbeat and positive. But you guys are losing so many games and so many tough games. You guys are losing. You know, by coming back and fighting a lot and still losing. How's the attitude on the team?
You know, I mean, it's tough. You know, it's tough coming every day. You know, you do all you can do, 100% of yourself. I know my teammate. Fight to, they give 100% of themselves, and you know, we come close to some games. I mean, it's a lot of those games we should win, but you know, we miss that little thing that, you know, that we lost the game. But I mean, those guys stay positive. They, you know, we regroup the next day after the game. We just go like, it's a tough game. Tomorrow is the next day. Just stay positive. I mean, the coaching staff handle the situation very good because, I mean, we have a very young team. So, I mean, I think that's the best way to handle it. If not, all those young guys will get frustrated and then it will get worse. So I think they do a great job handle this. And I think the guys handle it good too.
Okay, now, I have to ask, one of the things that's kind of a mystery to us is Lasting's millage. We ain't seen him. Is he healthy?
Actually, he had some problem down here, but I'm not very sure what it is. I talked to him the other day. He said he had like some pain in his shoulder or something. Okay. But I mean, I just want him to, you know, recover the fastest he can and come back in the lineup. I mean, we be scoring a lot of runs, but I think having his offense too in this team, I mean, we can score a lot more runs, and you know, we will look a better offensive team.
Okay. Now, I guess it was all over YouTube, was you and Scott Matheson in that Giants series. How'd that start?
I mean, it's something I don't like to talk about it because
okay.
I mean, what happened at the moment, it was part of the game. I mean, it's, you know, both sides, you can get fired in that situation.
Sure.
You know, you get the big strikeout, you can fire. You get the big homer to tie the game, you can fire up too. I mean, I don't try to disrespect them, but I mean, probably he feel that way, but it was nothing against him. And I mean, just things happen, and I mean, it go off. I mean, nothing I can do. The next day, everything is over, and I have nothing against him either. I mean, if you want to talk to me, I talk to him, and I don't have nothing against him. I mean, it's baseball. I mean, That sometimes things happen, you know?
Sure.
So it's over for me.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that makes a difference in people, you know, when you're playing at this level and you're playing 144 games, you got to put everything that went wrong yesterday, regardless what it is, put it behind you.
Of course. I mean, you got to play this game with heart, you know? I mean, emotionally, it's an everyday game. I mean, those situations never happen. And, you know, it was tough because we was probably he'd be tough because he haven't pitched good the last couple of games. It's frustration for us. We haven't won a lot of games. So when you get the opportunity, you just try to fire up your teammates, you know, but nothing against them. And,
yeah.
And I mean, it is what it is. It's part of the game.
Well, I'm sure he just put it behind him.
Yeah, I mean,
you got to go out the next day and compete.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's one game. We still have 143 games to go, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, just got to let it go and just try to concentrate on the games coming.
Yeah, that's not going to put any wins on the board if you worry too much about that stuff.
Not really. I mean, it's over, you know. I don't have nothing against him, and I have to talk to him. I talk to him. I mean, nothing against him. It's just part of the game.
Okay. Now, you know, this team's had a lot of injuries, but, you know, it is what it is. You got, as you said, you got a lot of young players. Is there enough in the tank here with the Swallows to make it to the playoffs this year? It's still early, but...
It's early. I mean, offensively, I think we consistent. I think if we can play defense consistently, and I think our pitch is going to get better down the road, I think we can still make a push, you know. I mean, it's early, and that's always good. You know, we're struggling early, so a nice push, a 10-game winning streak, you probably be right back in the mix, you know what I'm saying? And it happened. We did it before, you know, so it's nothing impossible.
Okay. And the last question is, how did the first base experiment go? How'd you feel trying that out?
It wasn't bad. I mean, actually, I love it. It's not much to do, not too much running.
Okay.
But it was too short time, you know.
Oh, okay.
I signed as a third base like 16 years ago.
Okay.
So I moved to the outfield like 15, like a year after.
Okay.
So I've been playing the outfield like for 15 years. So I haven't played infield, you know, for so long. So I only had like 2 months of practice, a month and a half.
Right.
And, I mean, it's something I got to get in the routine, you know, and I wanna help the team, but I think that's not the better way, because if I'm not solid at that position, I won't be able to help the team, you know. I will make some errors and stuff, and I'll just move back to the outfield, and probably next year, probably in the off season, I will try to, you know, get more ground balls, and if they still want me to be there, I'll be practicing Okinawa and camp and stuff. I hope it's getting better. I just want to help the team, and I don't want to get the team worse.
Right. Well, it'll be hard to get a lot worse, but I hear what you're saying. Obviously, the team thinks that you're better where you are right now. So,
yeah, me too. I mean, I found my outfield for all my life, so I love it, and I think I still can play. So. It's no hurry for getting me a new position.
Okay, well, thank you very much for taking time out of your pregame here.
All right, man, thank you for having
me. Okay, look forward to having you again.
All right, buddy, appreciate it.
Thanks, take care, bud.
All right.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Coco, as always, buddy.
Thanks so much, Coco. Yeah, really good. Really good interview, really good chat. Thank you very much, Jim, for going out.
Well, I was there. The company sent me out there, so that was a kind of a no-brainer. Perfect thing for me. It was a little hard to hear him, though. Okay, I don't know why you didn't notice it on the audio, but man, it was loud and noisy.
Yeah, it usually is. But you're getting to be like the producer. You know, the producer is always telling me when he goes out to ballparks that it sounds like it's really noisy and he's really concerned. But when we get back in and listen to the audio, that is pretty good, that it's not as bad as we thought it was. So it's good that you're cognizant of those things. Thank you. The producer appreciates it.
How good it sounded, and it sounded much better than being there in person. So anyway, and thanks for that. So what'd you think about that?
Well, first of all, I mean, yeah, I wanted to acknowledge that we know that Coco speaks, what was it, 3 or 4 languages, but I'm always...
Papiamento, Spanish, Dutch... and English, so 4, at least 4.
And I know he's learning a lot of Japanese, so I'm always impressed with the way he fields questions and responds in English. It's pretty amazing. So, you know, that's first and foremost. But obviously with his case pending and him being unable to comment on it, he seemed a little bit, I guess it was predictable that he'd be a little bit standoffish about talking about it, but he did acknowledge the questions. And
yeah, he didn't hit me in the head with a bat or anything. I mean, he was the same guy. He was the same guy as always,
Right. He's a really sweet guy, and I really hope everything works out for both parties in that situation. I mean, we know he's got his case coming up at the end, well, I guess after the baseball season, so near toward the end of the year, but he was really courteous in talking about as much as he could talk about it, and that's fine. And as for what he commented on, I think the key phrase in this whole interview was can't complain. You know, he couldn't complain about the way his team, the officials, and then the teammates received him after this offseason incident. He can't complain since the pitchers aren't running away from him any more than usual, I guess. And they're challenging him. They're coming at him, as he said. He can't complain about the team's rough start, which he didn't actually say. But frankly, who would he complain to? I mean, I think he knew what he was coming back to, and they were a lot of high hopes. But he's seen them experience injuries already so early in the season. It's hard to fathom, you know, that you couldn't predict these kind of injuries. I think the injuries were not predictable. The losing kind of was predictable in my estimation. But again, it's still early. And when and if some of these guys can come back, we know Tony Barnett, and we miss you, buddy, is not coming back. I did hear that Lasting's Millage has gone back to the States to have his shoulder looked at. And this was on the radio broadcast of Sunday night's game, so.
Okay. I got that via Jason Kosker on Twitter today.
Okay. So, he's got a lot that he can't complain about, and you were right, and you mentioned it just before in your introduction to the interview. He was so happy to be on time for camp. You mentioned it before he actually got to camp. We realize it. And he just said, hey, I'm really happy to be playing baseball. And you can tell, I mean, win or lose. Of course, they did win their game on Saturday night, and he got walked late in the game, but the guys behind him came through. So they end up winning that game. And he's walking off the field, and you could just see how happy he is. I mean, he's happier when they win, but he is really, really thrilled to be here playing.
Sure. And I think, getting back to the press conference in January, the whole bit about having a better season, it was obvious to me at that time that, you know, there are many ways you can have a better season and hit many fewer home runs. You know, it's not a one-dimensional game. It's not a freak show. You know, it's about winning. And this was really what I was curious about, because there are a lot of issues. Looks like he tweaked his groin today a little bit when he was running the bases. His lower body is not completely healthy. He had this juxtaposition in his language in that they're both A, avoiding him, and B, challenging him. They're avoiding him more. You know, they're being more cautious with him. And I think that makes sense because of what he did last year.
Obviously,
there's that extra element of fear. But there's also the realization that he, so far this season, has not been the hitter he was last year.
Right.
And that he's obviously not swinging as well as he could, and they're exploiting that. And, you know, and that is part of the game. So that was kind of interesting, talking about getting back. I wish I'd asked him about what he's doing physically to get back on track, because he's got all these nagging injuries. He's always had, you know, last year he had a lot of trouble coming out of he didn't play a lot in the WBC after he got hurt in one game. And, you know, he missed, I'm going to say 11 or 12 games at the beginning of the season.
About 2 weeks.
And so these are issues that, you know, I would think are fairly important for him. I know last year the thing was he was getting healthy on the farm team. He told me this a year ago, that being on the farm team was really good for him because, one, he wasn't stressing out pushing his body too much in games. But on the other hand, getting 100 times more batting time in the cage and so on against live pitching.
Right.
That could be exactly what he needs right now. But you know what? The Swallows ain't gonna say send him down to the minors for 10 days to get his swing back.
Yeah, and when you mentioned that, I knew that he had tweaked something in the lower body today. I didn't know exactly what it was. But as soon as I heard that, I remembered the interview and you talking about him playing first base, because it'd be probably a good thing to get him back to first base where he wasn't doing as much running around. But if it's a groin, if it's a groin, I guess that's out. I mean, he'd just have to sit out and let that thing heal, because those things can be nagging. And I know he wasn't 100% last year. We know he had something going on. But he played through all that stuff and hit all those home runs despite the physical issues that he was dealing with. And I think he's just going to have to deal with them more. I think he's that kind of guy, though. I mean, physically, he's just big. Mm. And he's going to have these injuries, especially after the age of 30, that he's just going to have to deal with them. And I think playing first base will help. It's not going to help if he's trying to run around. They've already moved him from right field to mostly playing left field, or are playing a lot more left field than I've seen him play. So yeah, it's going to be some adjustments, but he said he loved it playing at first base, but he never looked comfortable to me in any of the preseason games or in any situation. I didn't really see him comfortable out there.
I think he's going to love it a lot more next year. But, you know,
you mean when he's doing it every day?
Yeah. When he's comfortable with it, I think he'll get used to the idea if he doesn't have to run all the way out to left field.
Right.
You mentioned the nagging injuries, and I was thinking about that expression the other day and thinking, you know, what's a nagging groin injury? You know, like, I told you not to stretch. I told you. I knew this was going to happen.
Yeah. It's an injury without a ring on its finger, I suppose.
Whoa, let's not go there. Unless you have to. Okay. So, was there anything else that you wanted to mention about Coco before we moved on?
I just suppose that he had a lot of mental stress in the off season, and he's just been through so much mentally. I mean, if you think about it, that whole home run stretch was a mental challenge for him as well. Then the off season was a mental challenge. And he's coming back into this season where people expect him to either do the same or even better. And so I think, you know, the stress of being pushed and pushed to produce. Now, of course, it's fun.
Fun stress.
No. I mean, it's fun to play baseball.
Oh, okay.
It's fun to go out there and do the job that he's doing. Baseball is fun. But at the same time, I think it could be bad for his game to have that much stress on him. I don't know. We'll just have to watch. I just hope, you know, he really has been able to focus on his duties with all that's been going on. And it's probably helped him push all that stuff aside. I he did sound genuinely happy to just be out there and be playing baseball despite all of the problems that he's dealing with. So,
I think part of that was the alternative, which is having to shuttle back to the U.S. and take, you know, and dealing with lawyers.
You.
I mean, let's give you a choice. Now, here's your choice. Go talk to lawyers and be under threat of, you know, monetary fines and punishments and debts and so on, or play baseball. Gee, okay. That's a tough one.
That's tough.
So anyways, yeah, he was upbeat and happy to play ball, and I think very happy that nobody's going to make a big deal about it. Of course, I guess I mentioned earlier that had he been a minor leaguer, a Japanese minor leaguer, or an Ikusei player, he'd be with a different team or playing in Taiwan right now.
Yeah, he'd be a different situation.
That's a lot to hit, you know, 60 home runs.
Well, he might feel like he's in Taiwan with the way his team is performing, because they are not performing up to par. And I did predict that they would finish last again, but I have to admit, I didn't think it would be anything. You know, they have 10 victories and 20 losses, and that's the exact opposite record of what the Carp have at 20 wins and 10 losses, and I just didn't expect it to be that bad. And, of course, when we had Lasting's Millage on the show, and I said, well, you know, he said he's not worried about the pitching, and I said, well, I'll worry about the pitching for him. We cannot guess what these injuries are going to do, and losing Tateyama again, it's like he was never there. We didn't know how bad Ishikawa was going to be or how ineffective he was going to be at the beginning.
He has a few brilliant games. I mean, he had that great game to start the season against the Giants. He threw a perfect game, but that was pretty much the exception. I'm very used to him going 0-6, starting the season 0-6.
Yeah.
I think, you know, of course, the loss to of Yasuhiro Ogawa was probably was pretty hard. And I don't know, what's is there a timetable? He's going to be back in a couple of months or something?
Yeah, I think they said after sometime in June.
Yeah. Okay. Well, speaking of, you know, what's up with the Swallows, I mean, you mentioned pitching, and the pitching is really bad. And as I mentioned last year, the defense was really bad, which is not what the Swallows were, you know, and the Swallows were good, had a stretch there for 3 or 4 years. So their defense was among the best in the Central League. But this year, they're easily the worst in the Central League. And, you know, when I say that, I just throw out a couple of numbers. Through April, I haven't updated this, to the end of April, their opponent's batting average on balls in play was .334. I can't give you the league average, but the only team that was close to that being that bad was the Bay Stars, who were .338. But the Swallows give up more errors. They're worse at turning double plays. The pitching is worse. The Swallows are leading the league in walks and are last in strikeouts.
And I think they're not getting very many quality starts. The Newell data site has them at 34.5% in quality starts, which is, and the guy who has the 75% quality start rate is Ogawa, who's injured, and right. The other guy is Kia, whose ERA is almost 4.
So. Well, Furuno, I like what I've seen from Furuno. I mean, you know, he's had some troubles, but he's also got a couple of decent pitches, and I think Michael Westphal is fond of saying, and you know, it seems ridiculous to say, you know, you're going to lose your best player, and you're going to, you know, good things can come out of that, but it is true. And Kia and Furuno have a chance to step up, and they have a manager who's not going to put any extra pressure on them. So the Swallows, as Coco said, the Swallows are a young team. They are a young team. They have I think the defense is right, is more than Achilles heel. It's like a prosthetic. You know, it's obvious they're walking around on one leg.
And I thought you meant you just take it off whenever it gets in the way.
Well, it looks like they got those gloves are not attached properly.
It's more like it keeps popping off when they're trying to walk.
I mean, I was watching, you know, I knew Ueda had played a lot in center. I mean, they have other guys who play center. I know Yuhei Takai can play center, and I know Kiane played a lot as a late-inning replacement. But it's the first time this past week I saw several Swallows games, and boy, is Ueda bad at tracking balls in center field. Yeah, I know he's fast, but my gosh.
It's just going to help you get to the wrong spot faster if you don't.
That's exactly what happened the other day. He climbed the wall in dead center waiting, trying to save a home run, and the ball landed like 10 feet away from him off the base of the wall, 2 meters to his right and about 2 meters below him.
I got it, coach. I got it.
Yeah, it's like, it's in the wrong zip code.
Yeah.
It's like, I got it. So, that's pretty bad. I guess he needs practice. He needs to go down to the farm and just catch fly balls. But
Yamada, he's hitting well. I mean, he looks like he's going to be a really good hitter, but he's got to play better defense to stay on the field.
Okay,
I haven't seen much of.
I haven't seen, you know, and they've revolved their shortstops. And I mean, it's a weird team because they made a guy who plays irregularly the captain, who is Yosuke Morioka, who I thought would be a pretty useful player about 5 years ago.
Mm.
They got him for a case of extra, I guess, used practice balls from the Chinichi Dragons. And
the ones that are scuffed up.
Yeah, but he was good. He was a pretty good player for the Dragons in the minor league system, and I thought he had he's a small guy, so he's one. You know, he has that selection bias working against him.
Mm.
But I think he's a pretty good player. But the fact is, he rarely played. He did play. The thing is, he had a lot of big hits for him down the stretch last year. When he played, he had some memorable games. I think that's sort of what makes you a captain, I suppose. I don't know who made that choice.
Well, anyway, these guys, they're giving up so many runs. They're scoring a lot of runs, but 168 runs given up, that's the most in Japan right now. And they're even giving up more than the Bay Stars, which is saying something. So I don't know.
The offense is okay, but the pitching is the worst in the country. And the defense is the worst in the country. And the pitching's probably almost there, too. And that's just a lethal combination.
Yeah. So we can just hope that Tony Barnett gets well soon, that Tateyama is able to come back off this latest surgery, and they can draft somebody, and Ryan Ogawa comes back. Just like Coco said, the year, it's still early, and they score a lot of runs. And if they figure these guys figure it out on the mound a little bit and get that ERA down and stay competitive in some games, they're going to win some.
I think, it's like he said about his batting. You need to, you can't change everything at once because everything's in motion and moving around. And, I think they're going to have to look at one piece at a time. I think they have some excellent pieces. I'm not convinced that their defense is going anywhere. They're going to need to find the guys who can pick it, the guy who can pick it and hit. And find decide where they can afford to be weak defensively. I'm not certain that it's second short and center field.
Yeah, because they can't expect Kazuhiro Hatakeyama to hit out of his crazy mechanics mind the entire season. He's going to come back to earth at some point.
I don't know, come back to earth. He'll probably just hit the way he did in the years prior to last year, which was, he's a 300 hitter with medium range power and a few walks. So, is he gonna be an MVP candidate? No, but he's a pretty reliable hitter.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for going out to talk to Coco. And Coco, thank you very much again. It was a pleasure hearing you.
Yeah, I think looking forward to seeing you again next time when I won't be having any questions for you. We can just chat and shoot the bull.
All right. So we had some excitement on Friday. Now, I did tweet the other day when Brian Bulletin of the Carp had a no-no going. Actually, he had a perfect game going, and he went into the seventh inning, and Tony Tani had a double to break that up, and then a solo home run from Mauro Gomez ruined his two-hitter. Randy Messenger also had a two-hitter going, and he finishes off. It was just a great game, and it ended 1-0, and Bulletin loses it. And he bunched his two hits together in the form of a homer, so to speak. So then Takayuki Kishi is throwing a no-hitter, and I tweeted before I left the office, and that was about the fourth inning. And I listened on the radio, and I got home, and I flipped it on, and I watched the last three innings about. And... yes, he threw the 78th no-hitter, he was the 78th pitcher to throw a no-hitter. He was the 89th no-hitter thrown. And to be honest, I thought that's where you were going to go with the trivia question. I thought you were going to ask me to name a couple guys who have thrown more than one no-hitter in Japan. And so
You're trying to predict what Mr. Inconsistency is going to think. Wow, that's a dangerous course, John.
So I don't know. For me, this no hitter. So I mean, it was great, and I enjoyed watching it and everything. Mm. But it just seemed like it lacked that luster. Did it seem like a no hitter that just didn't have that sex appeal to it to you?
Well, sex appeal and no hitters really don't.
Mean. Come on, I don't mean literally, but I mean, sometimes you're just really excited about something and something fantastic is going on and you want to watch it. And
I thought it was pretty,
it was kind of a ho-hum no-hitter.
I enjoyed it. And I'll tell you what I enjoyed about it is I picked it up about the fifth inning. Our reporter Dave Houston was out at the queue. And so I wanted to, see what was going on so I could, back him up in case there were any issues, in details that.
Right.
Cause I can see it on TV and blah, blah, blah. And anyway, so I'm charting his pitches and he was getting he was having a bunch of 3-2 counts or, he was going three balls on a few guys early in the game. Mm-hmm. And then it's sort of like the switch went on and his fastball he just realized he had really good movement on his, I think it was his two seamer, and just started tormenting these guys with it. I mean, he'd throw it on the edge and they'd take it for a strike, and then he'd throw it 3 inches outside and they'd swing at it, and then every now and then he'd throw his breaking pitch right in the middle of the zone and they'd going, oh my gosh, I was looking fastball.
Yeah, he threw some really nice changeups. They were changeups, yeah.
Changeups, okay. Not in the beginning because he was missing them all.
But
later. In the end, they just, you know, it was that movement he had on his fastball was just deadly. I mean, he doesn't throw all that hard.
No, not hard at all.
And his changeup wasn't really that good until kind of the very end of the game. But, you know, he threw a couple sliders in there and they were very good. I mean, it was a very well pitched, you know, for a guy who started out kind of like, you know, looking like a very ordinary start. I think that's, you know, it started out very ordinary. Didn't have no hitter written on it or anything. And it was only, I think, about the sixth inning, they had a very close play at first. But at the seventh inning, the Marines were going, we're getting no hit. And I think the problem was the guys started thinking about they were getting no hit instead of, you know, just relaxing and figuring out a plan because they stopped having good at bats about the seventh inning.
Yeah, they worked a walk and then get a hold of something, then they have a chance because it's only a 2-0 game, so they put two runners on. It changes a lot of strategy. But all right, so Kishi had 8 strikeouts, he had 12 flyouts, 6 on the infield and 6 to the outfield. And he had 4 of those infield flyouts were foul outs to first base, which I thought was really kind of weird because they all looked the same. You notice he was playing first base for him then? Hichori Morimoto was at first.
Oh, yeah. They got some guy who can really catch them fly balls years in center field.
Yeah, every fly ball, every foul fly that he caught, he had this big smile on his face. I'm like, God, dude, you know, it's not like you ran this thing down. So,
plays the game, man. That's his MO.
So then he had 7 ground outs, and then a couple of good defensive plays, one by Naoto Watanabe at short, you talked about in the sixth inning on Okada, who's really fast. And then I don't even remember the other one because I always talk about the fact that when a guy throws a no-hitter, there's always that one good play. Well, there was really – I'm just telling you, it just was not exciting. It was – I don't know why, and maybe it's because of Kishi because – I talked to him. I went out a few years ago and did an interview with him, and he just didn't say anything worth quoting. It just was boring. And then you saw his reaction when he actually got the no-hitter. He half-heartedly threw his hands in the air. He didn't even want to celebrate it too much. He thought maybe he was showing the other team up, like doing a Scott Matheson, Coco Ballantyne kind of a thing. I don't know. It just didn't have that much appeal for me. I was really happy for him. I enjoyed it, but I just didn't feel any emotional attachment to it. I didn't think it was this huge deal. If you think about it, it came on the perfect night. There were only 3 Pacific League games. They could have, you know, he could have gone and done all the interviews around with all the news, sports news programs late at night. And he didn't, I think he called into one and I don't even remember. I didn't see him hardly at all on TV, and I think a lot of people know he's not that great at interviews, but they just didn't bother. I don't know what was going on. And this team is weird because it has – I wrote a blog post about, I don't know, 10 days to 2 weeks ago about the Lions having an aceless team. And, of course, this is Kishi's second really good outing. On the 25th of April, he took a shutout into the ninth inning against SoftBank, and he ends up giving up a home run in the ninth inning. I think Hasegawa hit that, and then they took him out, so he went 8 2/3 innings, and then he comes back with this effort. So, he's certainly ace-worthy, and this whole outing just brought back memories of the 2008 Japan Series when he was so dominant against the
sublime.
The Yomiuri Giants, and coming back after a couple days and after getting knocked out in a start and tormenting the Giants by coming on in relief and just, you know, doing a bang up job.
My all time favorite Japan series. So Yeah, you know, and I remember that, but he hasn't, of course, the thing was, he threw a zillion pitches in the Japan series, and he's never been quite the pitcher since.
Right.
So that's always unfortunate, but, I didn't have that feeling at all. I was on every pitch and I was watching and I was thinking, you know, it was a slow news night. I was just sitting there watching every pitch, seeing where he was throwing it, watching the swings he was getting. And I thought, wow, it was a real enjoyable game to watch. And, you know, what did it have a lot of cachet or pizzazz to it? Well, no, but it's hard to think of anything the Lions do these days as having pizzazz. I mean, they're about as dull as paint.
and I said, you know, in the blog post that I wrote, I said, look, they're top four pitchers. They're all probably going to give you about the same. You can expect a quality start out of them. Kishi, Kikuchi, Nogami, Makita, those guys, I think.
Kikuchi's got a long way to go. He's been horrible in so many of his games this year.
He's been horrible early, but then after the second or third inning, he kind of settles down and goes six innings.
Mm, okay.
So, I mean, you know, that's about what they're going to get out of Nogami, and it's about what they're going to get out of Makita. Maybe sometimes he's going to pitch more, and then Kishi's probably going to pitch maybe seven or eight innings, you know, if everything goes well. So, I mean, they're all the same. I just don't think that they have a great ace level pitcher, but they're solid guys from one to four. And then after that, they really haven't been very steady this year. But like I said, it's still a start. It's 1 month in and it's still early. And
one comment about the Lions, you know, I think in addition to my regular Ihara Magic comments on Twitter. It seems like, you know, talking about Ichori Morimoto, he has this plan. Today's first baseman was
Yoneno?
Tomohito Yoneno.
Yeah.
Now, I have to wonder if one of the qualifications for being a first baseman for Haruki Ihara is you can't hit. Because Morimoto hasn't hit in years. Yoneno, I got some flack from Aaron Guile and a couple of Swallows when he used to play for Yakult and said he couldn't hit his weight if he went on a fast all year.
but he just
can't hit. I mean, he just can't hit. I mean, he's hitting 400 right now because I think he's 4-for-10. But you know that'll last as long as you know the Thanksgiving dinner with small turkey and 20 people like at my house last year.
Right? Isn't he like in his 15th season or something? So we know that he'll regress to his mean.
Well, his mean is about 200. So he's had Naoto Watanabe at first base a lot and Morimoto's played a lot of first base a lot.
Yota Wakia has played there, yeah.
Wakia, right. Wakia was the first baseman on opening day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what's up with that? And, you know, and the thing about the Sox and all that. And the other thing, and I've again pointed this out on Twitter, is that the Lions lead all of Japan in the most sacrifice bunts. And I guess they lead Japan's opponents in having scored the least runs. So there's a team essentially that's bunting its way to get all these runs, and they're not, you know, what's the purpose of that now?
Maybe we can talk about it in another show, but the stolen bases are disappearing throughout the league. So,
okay.
Yeah,
we talk about that in another show.
Yeah.
Anyway, to move back, the Lions are on track to be the 17th team to lead the league, to lead its league in sacrifice hits and finish last in runs.
Yeah.
And now of those, one won a championship, but the most common finish was last. Followed by fifth and fourth. So 16 times, five teams finished last, four finished fifth, four finished fourth, and two finished third. And we had one team won a championship.
Do you hear that, guys? You are sacrificing yourself to death.
Wow. Okay, so anyway, so that, and the other comment I thought about, you know, the kind of interesting thing in the Pacific League is the Hawks and the Buffaloes have been neck and neck for the last few weeks. And I looked at them, and they're kind of interesting because they're the two best teams at preventing runs in the Pacific League.
Yeah.
But they're the opposites. Oryx has a really ordinary, mediocre defense. But what they've got is pitchers who strike out everybody
and
never
walk.
Issue walks.
Yes, they don't walk.
Home runs.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like they do everything the pitchers are supposed to do. And if the ball goes in play, you know, they're okay. They're not terrible, but
right.
They're not all that good.
Mm.
And the Hawks are the other way around. The Hawks are the carp of the Pacific League. If you put the ball in play against them, you know, cross your fingers because chances are you're out.
Mm.
But you know, you got a bet, you have a fairly good chance of reaching on a walk or hitting a home run. So
yeah.
They were kind of interesting in that respect. So
yeah.
That's the big comment there.
All right. Well, I mean, I look at the Buffaloes and I think they're the most surprising team, obviously, of the 12 teams so far. I think it's a good surprise that they're doing well and we'll see how they can do. The rest of the way. I think the Carp can even do better. I think they can pitch a little bit better. I think they can play against the lower level teams a little bit better because they've been playing well against the top teams.
Yeah, they've become the inverse Carp.
Yeah, but they're losing against some of the lesser teams, or I guess it's the teams that are below them in the standings. But everybody's below them because they've been in first for a while. So I'll watch and see how that goes. The PL, I think, is still a mess. I think it figures to be tight the whole way as it normally does. So I'm not really counting anybody out yet. But the Bay Stars and the Swallows, I'd be hard-pressed to see them make runs to get into the playoffs at this point from what
I've
seen.
Yeah, I think the Swallows just don't have the horses as much as I like Ogawa. I think he's going to keep them. You know, one thing I've seen with the Swallows is that, and the Bay Stars too. I mean, you know, the only thing I do like a lot of the Bay Stars young players. I like several of them quite a bit, and I like some of the things the front office is doing. But you know, the manager's a numbnut, a Kiyoshi numbnut Nakahata, and that's always going to be a problem. And eventually, the players are just going to get fed up with the fact that he doesn't know anything. The Bay Stars have that always working against them. The Swallows don't have a fairly good manager, but the health is an issue. I think the Swallows are going to get better. You know, even if they don't get guys coming back, they're going to get better.
I agree.
Guys get to play.
I agree. I think they have more of a chance of finishing, you know, fourth or fifth than the Dragons do. I think they're looking, the Dragons, they might not be down at the bottom of the standings yet, but I think that's where they're headed. So, unfortunately.
The Dragons have impressed me, and they're not as bad as I thought they would be so far. So, we'll see.
All right, they're hanging on.
Hanging on, baby.
Yeah. All right, we've got a question from a listener in Washington, D.C., so let's go to Fielding Questions. This comes to us in MP3 form from Michael in D.C., so let's go ahead and take a listen.
Hey, guys. Recently, Prime Minister Abe mentioned that he would consider using economic stimulus funds to help the MPB expand with more teams or to publicly subsidize stadiums. One, do you think that there are places in Japan that could use and would support new MPB teams, and where would you like to see them? And then two, do you think public funding of stadiums and MPB teams would help the Japanese keep some of their best players at home? Thanks, guys.
So what do you think, John?
What do I think? Well, I'll be allocating funds to enhance sports facilities. I don't see it.
I think they do it all the time.
Yeah, well, I'll believe it when I see it, I suppose.
Well, you see it all over the countryside.
If it ever gets there.
Littered with sports facilities that nobody uses because they had to give money to construction companies to build them.
Exactly. But I think I said this on the show last year. I'd love to see new teams, but you'd have to add two to one particular league, or you'd have to add four two to each league. You can't just throw one team out there or two teams in one of the leagues. I don't know how that would work. But I would love to see new teams. I think location is an issue because you have to make the travel somewhat feasible for the teams in which the league that it's in. And then the other teams that are coming from other leagues, you have to think about all these things, and access is important. So for those reasons, I don't see it happening. But if Abe infuses more money into youth programs and plants these seeds, and we can see the sport grow on a youth level and maybe more organically, I think in 10 plus years that we'd have the talent for the expansion. And I think that would kind of force the expansion. You would look around and say, well, these guys, they're guys hitting in the minor leagues and they're hitting 400. We've got to have more teams to get these guys up on. And maybe we could take some of the independent leagues. Maybe we can take some of those, maybe some teams from there and put them in a city or just leave them in the city that they are. I don't know. In terms of locations, I thought of Shizuoka maybe Okinawa. We already have facilities there just to put
a team in. I like Shizuoka. That's a good thought. Okinawa is another good one too. I also think, although the air travel makes it, you know, even more remote than Sapporo, but.
Yeah, but because it's air travel,
it's a good one.
Yeah, because it's close to the airport.
Rail line.
Miyazaki is another place. Maybe we could have a team there. So I think there are some facilities, but I wouldn't go out in like Nagano or Aomori or places that are so far away that are so difficult to get to that
makes it really tough. Good. It's not that far on the Shinkansen. It's closer than Sendai.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the Hokuriku Shinkansen is going to change things pretty soon. And I think Kanazawa is another area in that, a team in that area. Right now they're an independent league team. But I think you're really right. I think, I disagree, I guess, sort of like in small, insignificant ways. But I think, they do need, the key issue in Japan is not that, people don't want to play baseball. You know, it's not like they're trying, like MLB's trying to turn on, you know, kickstart baseball in the inner cities. That's not a problem. The problem is getting quality coaching from top to bottom.
Mm.
And, you know, making the game more accessible than it is, because it has this kind of, you know, it's very old school.
Mm.
I think it's hard to, you know, and it has that cultural mystique to it in Japan, and where old school is a, you know, always is going to have its constituency, but in terms of being cool and hip, you know, the game certainly is cool and hip and can be lively and fun, but it's not marketed as being lively and fun.
Mm. You know what I'd like to see?
If they were
going to take some funds and do something with it and try to, like I said, grow the game organically, I would like to see them take the money and build a national facility for high school teams. For example, so that all the junior players and all the young high school players who are going, so I put the money into a facility where, for example, they could hold the national high school baseball tournament every year, build their own stadium. Build their own facilities. They don't have to kick the Tigers out of their stadium, and everybody goes there. It's like the mecca of junior baseball, and do something like that. And I think that would really turn the sport around in terms of. In fact, you can build a number of those places. You can build a couple of them regionally. Another thing you asked about, Michael, was about Japan keeping its players. And I would have to say that the goal of every young player is to reach the highest level and test their ability. I don't think just because they have a really nice place to play and the teams are fun that, you know, that was the deal with Yu Darvish, is that, you know, he was very content to play his entire career in NPB until he noticed that he was much, much better than the players here, and he wanted to go and test his abilities in the States, and that's what pulled him away. He was not planning to go away. There are other players who it's what drives them all the time. I think Ichiro long since wanted to go to the States. I think Hideki Matsui wanted to go to the States and test his ability. But, you know, stadiums keeping players here, I don't think it would be stadiums. It would have to be something more than that. But I still think if you want to be the best, you want to go and play against the best. And that's in the making.
I think it has to be a two pro. Now, I think what the stadiums do is they allow you to attract a little bit more of the foreign talent, a little of the more marketable foreign talent. But that's a small thing. I think it's a small thing. The stadium issue also affects team profitability, because the only teams that own their stadiums are the Cebu Lions and the Hanshin Tigers, unless I'm missing one. Oryx. I think Oryx now owns Kyocera Dome, so make that three. But most of them are owned by cities who take an enormous cut of the ticket revenue, or subsidiary companies, you know, where they have to pay some subsidiary, like Tokyo Dome is, I guess, not a subsidiary even. Tokyo Dome is owned by a business partner of Yomiuri, and they right. take an enormous share of the Giants' profits every year to play in a mediocre facility.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Michael, for the question. We really appreciate it. And anyone else who has a question, send it to yakyujohn@gmail.com or leave us a note on the Facebook page. Long show. Thank you very much for listening to the end, and glad we got through it, Jim.
Well, I am too. I was afraid I was going to keel over there towards the end.
Don't do that to me.
We're always going to get through it.
Don't do that to me, man. Don't do that.
No, I won't even think about it.
All right. All right, everybody. Have a good weekend. Enjoy your baseball.
Take care.
One World Sports is the exclusive home of the Yomiuri Giants in North America and features live coverage of all Giants home games. Please contact your local cable provider to find out how you can watch One World Sports.